Heard my little sis is buying a car. You'll need my secret guide.
Gross, no way. I already used Capital One Auto Navigator.
I bet your credit score
wasn't impacted at all, so ha. I got my real rate and monthly payment, had an amazing test drive at the dealership, and made the purchase.
Taking the easy way out. That's so you.
Still not getting it. That's so you. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
We're back now. And Joe, you know, we're going to play a clip here. Ron DeSantis is going to respond to a man who has become totally reprobate, and that's Gavin Newsom. He is a nuisance from California there. That man has become totally reprobate. There's no redeeming merit that I can find in him at all. None. Okay. And so we're going to listen to Ron DeSantis, and we need a lot more Ron DeSantis as he, again, responds to him and that Texas Xavier Salazar sheriff. Go ahead and roll the tape.
One liberal county in Texas is also investigating Ron DeSantis. They are accusing him of, quote, leaving migrants to fend for themselves in Martha's Vineyard. Here to respond, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. You know, the great irony in all of this is if we use the left's definition of racism and xenophobia, they're it. They define it based on their actions in Martha's Vineyard. What they're missing is Joe Biden has been flying and busing illegal immigrants every day all over the country and in the dark of night, just leaving them in the middle of the street. So why are they only now paying attention to 50 people that you sent?
Well, Sean, it's really frustrating because, you know, you've been covering this. Millions of people since Biden's been president illegally coming across the southern border. Did they freak out about that? No. You've had migrants die in the Rio Grande, yet 50 die in Texas in a trailer because they were being neglected. Was there a freak out about that? No, there wasn't. You've had criminal aliens get across that southern border and victimize Americans, killing some, raping some. Was there any type of outrage about that? No. And then, of course, we know fentanyl deaths are at an all-time high. Where's that fentanyl coming from? It's coming over the open southern border. It's only when 50 get put into Martha's Vineyard, which wasn't saying they didn't want this. They said they wanted this. They said they were a sanctuary jurisdiction. These were people who were basically destitute and then put in a situation where they could have succeeded, but that was all virtue signaling. And not only did they not welcome them, they deported them the next day with the National Guard. Give me a break.
Yeah, and by the way, just for the record, this was voluntary. All migrants were put up in hotels, given accommodations. They were fed, they were showered, they were offered haircuts and any other services that they were needed, correct?
Yeah, not only that, they all signed consent forms to go. And then the vendor that is doing this for Florida provided them with a packet that had a map of Martha's Vineyard. It had the numbers for different services on Martha's Vineyard. And then it had numbers for the overall agencies in Massachusetts that handle things involving immigration and refugees. So it was clearly voluntary. And all the other nonsense you're hearing is just not true. And why wouldn't they want to go, given where they were? They were in really, really bad shape. And they got to be cleaned up, everything treated well, and then put in a situation. Because, Sean, there are jobs available in Martha's Vineyard. There is lodging available in Martha's Vineyard. Had they lived up to their what they build themselves at as a sanctuary jurisdiction, they could have absorbed those people without a problem. But here's the thing. They said they didn't have housing. They said they couldn't accommodate. Like, let's just say that's true for a minute. Well, what does that mean for these poor towns in Texas? What does it mean for these other places across the country that are seeing influx? What does it mean to these small towns that Biden has dumped so many people in? And so I think what we've been able to do is show that this border is a disaster. Biden has failed on this as much or more than on any other policy. And now people are talking about it. And we want solutions as Americans. We want to make sure that Trump's policies of remain in Mexico can be reinstituted so we can get control over what's going on down there.
You know, Governor, it's kind of hard to fathom. 19 months ago, you're right, our borders were secure. We had stay in Mexico. We eliminated catch and release. Now we have process release, give a free phone,
you get preferential treatment. You don't get a COVID vaccine mandate. And then you have free transportation to the state of your choice. This is madness. We had our borders controlled. We had 1.4% inflation, not 8.5%. We didn't have, we're now paying double the amount for a gallon of gasoline. We didn't have that problem. We wouldn't have had a disaster in Afghanistan. All of this has happened in 19 months. What do you see as the answer beyond 50 days from now when Americans go to the voting booth and you're up for re-election?
Well, Sean, I think we should point out, you know, they accuse the governors of Arizona, Texas, and me of political stunts in terms of dealing with illegal immigration. But the biggest stunt was Biden coming into office and reversing Trump's policies, not because Trump's policies weren't working. He reversed them because he wanted to virtue signal to his base, and he wanted to show that he thought Donald Trump was bad. And that's why he reversed it. And he reversed it knowing what would end up happening. And so he has pulled the biggest political stunt. Look, I think people need to press the case on this in the midterms. We know the inflation, the economy, as you said, is going to be a big issue. Crime's going to be a huge issue. But this immigration and border, I think, is now a front burner issue. And I think this is one where Republicans have the advantage without question. So run on it. And then if we do get majorities in the Congress, Sean, they need to do something with that power to hold Biden accountable on this issue.
I think borders, I think energy, I think the economy, I think lower taxes, you're right, law and order, parental rights and education. All of this is on the ballot in 50 days, and I hope the American people see this for what it is. There's a part of me that doesn't really want to ask you this question because I don't think Gavin Newsom is particularly bright, and every time he deals with you, he comes out on the wrong end of it. But I'll ask anyway. I would actually love to see him explain why he shut down Californians. They couldn't go out to eat, but he went out to eat. He let his kids have in-school education. Every other kid that didn't have a private school education, they were forced to study remote. I'd like to him to explain his 13.5% state income tax to your 0% and his sanctuary state law breaking to your maintaining the law and order. And I don't know what he meant by the kidnapping comment. Maybe you can tell me what that meant, because I have no clue.
Well, Sean, we've had an influx of people from California, and they're moving because they're dissatisfied with what's gone on over there. I think that the only issue, you know, anytime you're there, you got to worry about all the different things with crime and the homelessness. But you also got to worry about, could they even keep the lights on for some type of an event? I mean, they seem to have a lot of problems with that as well. So we're happy with what we're doing in Florida. And I think at the end of the day, Sean, people can politically preen. They can say all this stuff. But look how people behave. Look how people vote with their feet. And since I've been governor, it's been unmistakable. People look for freedom, and we're the first place they look. And people have come not just from New York, New Jersey, as you know, that's always happened, not just from the Midwest, which has always happened, even from the Pacific coast of this country, going all the way across North America to be able to live in the state of Florida. Proud that we've been that symbol for many people.
Governor, for the first time in California's history, they've had a net decrease in population. How many new people are moving to Florida on a daily basis? Do you have the exact number?
I don't have the exact, but we've led the nation in net in-migration. And on net, we've had over 225,000 the last 2 years, probably on average. And we've had more wealth move into Florida than has ever moved into an individual state over a similar period of time in American history, even adjusted for inflation. And oh, by the way, Sean, who's losing the most population and the most wealth? California, New York, Illinois.
What very well said. All right. So you're out on the campaign trail. Your race is pivotal for Republicans. So is Marco Rubio's race. How do you feel your races are going? And I know you've also been doing some campaigning around the country. What are the arguments that you would make? To me, it's very simple. The list that we just went over, if you run on, are you better off than you were 19 months ago in terms of your energy prices, in terms of border security? Are you better off with a state that closed down for COVID? You had kids in school in August of 2020. What are the arguments you think people should be making, Republicans should be making?
Well, first, here in Florida, you know, people are fired up. I mean, our voters want to come out. I think we're going to have a record-setting turnout, particularly amongst Republicans. And so we're looking forward to that. As you mentioned, I'm running Senator Rubio. We also have congressional races, legislative races, school board. So this is really, really important. And we're working really hard. I think we're going to do really well. But I think you nailed it. Across the country, prosecute the case against what Biden has done. Things were cheaper before he was president. Your gas was cheaper. Our country was safer before he was president. Hit him on the crime, and obviously our border was more secured. And yes, I do think you pointed out the parents' rights and the education. These are huge issues because I think the left has gone so radical on this. They want to use the schools to indoctrinate our kids, and that's not what the American people want. They think schools should be to educate kids, not to indoctrinate them. So hold them accountable on things like critical race theory, gender ideology. None of that stuff is appropriate in the schools, but almost every single Democrat will have to say that they support that because that's what the far left of their base wants to see.
Fascinating. No Democrat wants to be seen with Joe Biden either when he goes to campaign. I didn't finish the question. Last question. You have any interest in debating good old Gavin Newsom on his record taxes, state income taxes?
Well, like I said, Sean, I don't know if they can reliably keep the power on. So you go all the way up there and have a debate. And then what ends up happening, you know, if they can't keep the lights on. So, you know, we're happy with what we're doing. You know, what I do, though, Sean, my actions speak louder than my words. There's certain people that'll preen and do that. I understand. We get things done in Florida.
My favorite line is, whatever you do, don't charge your electric vehicle during these hours. So you have to park it for this amount of time. That was my favorite. Governor, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page.
All right, we will be back. Okay, be right back. There you go. I think, you know, I really like that Governor DeSantis. I really do. He actually does things. He's like a younger version of Donald Trump, don't you think, Joe?
Very much so, and he's got a lot of humor to go with it. He's plain spoken. He doesn't speak in riddles. He tells you what he's thinking and what he's doing, and he does it. Very Trump-like. And
speaking about thinking,
he's got
someone
better humor than Trump.
Yeah, someone who's not really big on thinking is Don Lemon over at CNN. Now, I have never yet. I try to watch that just to see what they're up to, but I have never yet caught him telling the truth. Not one time. It's like it's illegal for them to tell the truth over at CNN. So Don Lemon got a history lesson on Monday after he tried to tell the royal commentator Hillary Fordwich that the royal family needs to repay reparations for colonialism. And here, the activist anchor was utterly speechless when Fordwich reminded him that slavery centuries ago was first abolished by the British. Fordwich also mentioned that 2,000 Royal Navy men died on the high seas because the African kings were rounding up their own people. She then suggested that the descendants of men who died fighting against slavery also deserve those reparations. Which wouldn't that apply to us that have spent all of our years fighting against abortion?
Yeah, shouldn't I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. The Royal Navy,
we're gonna see it that way.
Yeah, the Royal Navy saved an estimated 200,000 people from slavery from 1808 to 1863 in what was by far the most significant human rights action at sea during the 19th century, according to Maritime Executive. Fordwich again asked, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Totally unprepared, that dummy Don Lemon ended the interview by saying, that's an interesting discussion. It was hilarious. Someone should check Don Lemon.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about somebody that never tells the truth. story that's never gotten any movement. You know, China's been having a drought. Well, in China, the river levels dropped, and they found a 600-year-old statue that's been before underwater. They've been finding ancient cities, sunken treasures, all kinds of things. And in the Czech Republic and Germany, you know, especially Czechoslovakia, they found a stone, and it had an inscription, and it's called a hunger stone, and the stone dates back to 1616, and it said, "If you see me, weep." It was at the bottom of the Elbe River in Czech Republic. And about 400 years ago, there was a terrible famine, and the townspeople wrote about the lost harvests and the misery due to the lack of rain and the global warming that was taking place. And they found stones like this in Germany. The Rhine River dropped. It's interesting because you go back and look at history. We've had severe droughts. We've had all kinds of things, and yet nowadays, if it's cold, it's global warming. If it's too hot, it's global warming. Well, now there's a big international study out. It came out, and the world's not ready for this because they said there is no real climate change emergency. Now there is no disaster looming. This new international study, no evidence of a climate emergency. And the authors went and looked at data from heat waves, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, ecosystem productivity. And this is an article out of Sky News Australia. And they carried the results of this. And it said, every fear-mongering greenie is saying we've never seen flooding like we have in recent years. And the report found the opposite. And they said, we've never seen, you know, but... again, nothing, anything like this before, but we have. So you've got a group of scientists and statisticians and historians looked at this, and they came to the conclusion that we shouldn't fear a climate emergency. We're spending all this money to change something we probably can't change. We're wasting billions of dollars on things that aren't necessary right now, and... they're saying they should be spending the money focusing on things that they can fix, can do, to make people's lives better. I found that quite interesting, but you won't find that on the mainstream media anywhere, not even on Fox News, neither story.
All right, here's a story from World News Daily. Senator Chuck Schumer, a Democrat who is known for endorsing the debunked Russiagate collusion conspiracy theory Democrats launched against President Trump, the still legitimate president of the United States, as well as verbally threatening the justices of the Supreme Court, by name is demanding that child bride laws be instituted nationwide. Well, you know who's behind that. That's the Muslims.
Yeah.
That's part of the analysis for Matt Staver, founder of Liberty Counsel, which fights for religious and civil rights. He was addressing Schumer's stated plan to push H.R. 8404 through Congress within weeks. I wonder what he's getting paid for that. The plan called the Respect for Marriage Act, although it essentially destroys the historic and traditional concepts of marriage, is one of the congressional Democrats' top priorities. In addition to same-sex marriage, California will be able to force its pedophilia enabling child bride laws in every other state, and every other state will be forced to honor those insane laws, Staver explained. The analysis charged the media, wanting you to believe that children raised in same-sex households are happy and healthy and would not have anything any other way, but the children themselves tell a far different story. It was Katie, while opposing the senator's Supreme Court's creation of same-sex marriage several years ago, who wrote, if childbearing were just about providing stability for any two parents regardless of gender, then my mom and her partner would have been everything that I needed in life. They cared for me. I cannot remember the major strife in their home stemming from their relationship with each other or with me. But that was not enough. Now an adult, she confirmed that there are certain things that only a father can provide for his daughter. My family stretched, complicated, and sometimes full of hurt. It wasn't until she became a mother that crucial need for both parents and the home raising their children together really sank in. Staver noted, for decades, scientific studies have shown what common sense already informed children to do best when raised by both a mother and a father. Well, you know,
stable relationship.
Yeah, we've kind of known that all of our lives, haven't we, Joe?
We sure have. Well, it's the same with this transitioning for children. You know, most all those children that are confused, if they're left alone, give them a few years, they get it straight, they work it out, and no problem. Some of these things are common sense. Young people go through these emotional times. We've got these children that cut themselves, the girls that get bulimia, you know, over their perceived, they look too fat, and the pressure, what we've done to them in this country psychologically is child abuse, and they just keep it up because the Antichrist system, yeah, they're children created in the image of God, and if we can hurt them, if we can kill them, if they'll commit suicide, if we can destroy their bodies, we are attacking, they are basically attacking God, and it's, I call it Satan's revenge. And unfortunately, a great deal of what's called the so-called church out there is asleep, blind, and like dumb dogs cannot bark. Don't bark because they don't see any danger.
No. Here, what Trump's legal team and the DOJ reportedly agree on, judge to serve a special master of Mar-a-Lago case, Mar-a-Lago or whatever. The FISA judge who rubber-stamped Carter Page Warren. It seems like the Trump, you know, administration continues. They don't vet these people right. Here's a guy, the one that rubber-stamped, okay? He rubber-stamped that case with the, Russia,
the
FISA judge.
Yeah, and the Russian collusion with being able to, you know, wiretap and follow Carter Page and others, yeah.
And so now, they agreed upon this guy, and Special Master Raymond Deary, he blasts Trump's lawyers in preliminary conference. He wants to know, prove to me that Donald Trump had declassified those documents. Well, it's not, see, isn't it the case when you're accused of something, isn't it up to the state to prove your guilt and not you to prove your innocence?
Right. They have to prove you did something wrong. You're not supposed to go out there and have to prove your innocent before the state. And in the Constitution, the way it reads, the President of the United States, Commander in Chief, if he says a document is declassified, at from what I understand from listening to several of the attorneys out there, that constitutional attorneys, it's done deal. When he says it's unclassified, that's all that needs to be done.
Well, in the new filing, Trump's lawyers argued that the DOJ has never actually proven the documents that claims are classified were actually classified. The district court denied the government's stay request, noting it was not inclined to hastily adopt the government's contention that the approximately 100% purportedly classified documents were in fact classified, and that President Trump could not possibly have a possessory interest in any of them, so Trump's lawyers wrote in a 40-page filing. Then the senior federal judge tasked with reviewing the materials seized by the FBI from Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate sharply questioned the former president's attorneys today during the first hearing before his courtroom. Judge Raymond Deary pushed Trump's lawyers repeatedly for refusing to back up the former president's claim that he declassified highly sensitive national security recorded discovered in the residence. Well, all he has to say is they're disclassified. He had the total authority to do that, okay?
Well, he doesn't pack up his own documents. Somebody from, and I can't remember the name of, a government archive group or something, they're the ones that boxed all that stuff up and put it in the moving vans for him. And he told them, these are the things I'm taking, I've declassified them. And it was made known to the people who packed it up at the time. So the fact that he had to have told them what he was taking, because he doesn't do his own packing. Clothes, everything is done for them when they leave the office. So right there, the whole argument's mute. He had to give orders to have it all packed up. Everybody knew what they were packing up, and it was from that archive division, so they knew everything he had. They packed it.
Yeah. So this Derry guy, you know, again, I mean, here, God's Word in the Bible, these people are doing these things, and, you know, I mean, first of all, if you knew nothing else, you would know he knows about Russia. He's involved in this. He's a dirty judge. This very guy is a dirty judge. He knew what he did was wrong, but he hasn't repented of it. He hasn't said, you know what, I really made a big mistake, and I should have never have done that. I never should have rubber-stamped that whole Carter Page warrant. That was wrong. I wasn't supposed to do that. There was supposed to be evidence proof, and I just listened, and then I found out that I was lied to, but now he's going after, going after President Trump. So he's a part of the deep state,
right?
And Judge Drury, you need to come clean. You need to repent of that, and you need to come clean.
If he were an honest judge, when he found out that this whole thing was a lie, he should have written papers for indictment of those people. Should have been charged for giving him knowingly false information that he based a warrant on. That is a federal crime. And you notice he didn't charge any of those people that came and testified and presented the information to him with any crimes. Nobody did anything. So right there, if he had been honest, even if he had, if he was totally honest and just schnookered and just believed these people, they were supposed to tell him the truth, he did nothing to punish the guilty, so that tells you he's corrupt right there.
Well, let's show the clown show. Okay, another article here. This is by the Trump news staff, but listen to this. DOJ forced to remove phony filing in the Trump Mar-a-Lago case. Apparently, it was submitted by a prison inmate, okay? And here, the Department of Justice just filed a motion to remove a phony docket entry. The entry alleged Trump had acquired millions of unredacted classified tax returns and other sensitive financial data, bank records, and accounts of banking and tax transactions of several million Americans and federal government agencies. This is what the Washington Examiner reported. The Justice Department filed a motion to remove an apparent phony docket. The whole thing with that entire Justice Department is phony as phony gets. Entry after media revealed a prison inmate with a history of forging documents apparently tricked the court staff. Yeah, I believe that, huh? The document was filed on September 12th and remains on the docket as of Monday, appeared to be from the Treasury Department, and said the agency had seized sensitive documents relating to the August 8th raid at Mar-a-Lago and included a warrant ordering CNN to preserve leaked tax records. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it just keeps getting worse and worse, don't it?
It's kind of like the song that never ends, you know, goes on and on, my friend. It's like the story of corruption is like that song. It goes on and on and on without an end. And
okay.
One, I think we've got time. California is leading the way again. They're passing. Remember that movie, Soylent Green, with Charlton Heston?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do.
Well, now in California, they are going to, human composting is now legal. And there are several states already that are doing this. It's legal.
They're getting ready, Joe, for the so-called, you know, vaccine, the pharmacia. They're getting ready for these people that are going to start dying off in large numbers that have taken the kill shot. So now they're just going to make fertilizer out of them.
Right, what they're saying is to save the planet. It's already legal in Washington, Colorado, and Oregon, where the body's put in a reusable container filled with wood chips and things, aerated. And this is how they get rid of large animals and turn it in the animal body into soil. So now they've approved it in California. The difference in California, they're setting this up, oh, your loved ones, we're going to save the planet, save space, you know, the environment. And but the odd thing is there are no restrictions on it. Some of the other states, you can't use it for growing food or a garden. But California has no restrictions. So in other words, if you, grandpa can be decomposed, you can take the soil out and the backyard and plant tomatoes and kind of indirectly from grandpa's decomposed remains, grow your food.
Well, let me ask you this, California. Joe. Does grandpa have to be dead before they put him in the bin?
Supposedly, they're not. Well, they're pushing euthanasia, too, you know.
Yeah.
The old euthos eaters, we need to have, we've got abortion to get rid of unwanted children. And Canada and other places are euthanizing Europe, euthanizing the old. And remember Obama and his health care? They were going to talk to every old person about, you know, save money, don't spend your children, grandchildren's fortune.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Emmanuel, Ron's brother, what did he say? By 74, you're no more. We'll be back. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close a bad gate. Can't
you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fashion police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
All right, we're back. It's time, I think, to open the phone lines, take some fast calls, so... Phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Hey, Joe, USDA airdropping vaccines. This is from helicopter across 13 states using vaccine bait deemed hazardous if ingested. And, Joe, this is an article by Mike Adams, and he says this. The USDA, like many federal agencies, is deeply invested in the business of extermination. For example, most people don't realize that the USDA mass murders millions of birds every year through deliberate poisoning campaigns. Natural News has published the USDA's list of bird exterminations from 2009, showing how the agency murdered 4 million birds in 2009 alone. The program is called Bye Bye Blackbird, and it's just one of many mass extermination programs run by the USDA. Another program involves the USDA mass murdering foxes, coyotes, bears, mountain lions, bobcats, and river otters, as Natural News reported in 2018. Now here, now this is what the USDA, this is their own, okay, report. According to the latest report, the federal program last year killed 357 gray wolves, 69,041 adult coyotes, 393 destroyed coyote dens, 624,845 red-winged blackbirds, 552 black bears, and 319 mountain lions, 1,001 bobcats, 675 river otters, including 587 killed unintentionally, 3,827 foxes, plus an unknown number of fox pups in 128 dens, and 23,646 beavers. Now, this is their own report, Joe. Okay, so there you go.
They don't let you in the laws, you can't shoot this or do that or... Yeah, okay. So, well, do as I say, not as we do.
Yeah, there you go. We're living at a time that God's Word, the Bible. See, a lot of this stuff here, people are thinking to themselves, you know, can this possibly be true? I mean, wouldn't the so-called mainstream news media, wouldn't they report this? No, they will report whatever they are told to report. They will betray you. They are betrayed. They've been betraying you for years. And believe me, folks, they will go with whatever.
Those big windmills, you know, the wind farms kill. They kill eagles and the California condors, all kinds of things. And you don't hear anything about it. But these companies that run the... wind farms pay a fine. The birds are dead. They're cleaned up. And if you or I were to kill an eagle, oh, boy, you know, it would all break loose. But all these birds are dying. You don't hear about it on the news. It happens every day, every week, every year. And they just pay the little fine and go on. So, you know, again, the government is one of those they know best. And this country was based on individual citizens, and now it's all about the central government, and we are all to have equity. In other words, equal results for all of us little peons. No freedom, just equity.
All right, here you go. Phone lines are open. I can't believe that.
No, Cliff, we got Timothy.
Okay, let's go. Timothy, you're in the air.
Good evening, Pastor Joe, Pastor Ernie.
Hey, hi.
Good evening.
Hi. Another great show. I listened, agree with everything, had some comments I wanted to throw in there as support and encouragement that while I was listening to the show, I was in between while listening to the songs, I was pulling up Reagan's famous speeches from the 60s and Churchill's We Shall Not Surrender speech during World War II. And if you play those over and over and over, and you read the quotes from George Sherman Patton and all the people from back in that day, the ones that the Austins that we have to put up with, and the Millies we have to put up with, and the Biden and the Harris and the Nadler and da 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 da, and all the other knuckleheads. They couldn't hold a candle, and they wouldn't last 5 seconds in a room with all these people from back in the day, and that's all I want to say. And then also Acts 17:11, and, you know, there's various other things I've been looking at that are we're going to stand on. At, like you said, we don't rest until we win, and the victory is ours. We already know that, but we're going to in the natural, we still have to live on this side of heaven, and we're going to get the victory here as well.
Well, victory is his. We're just the recipients of his victory.
Well, he's the victor. He's the victor. Yeah. He's the victor, and he's the propitiation. And we're just humble enough and thankful enough to be in his presence and to be in his grace.
Amen to that.
Very, very good.
And I want to lift up his sovereignty. I want to lift up his province, and may God arise and his enemies be scattered.
That will happen, 10-3. That will happen.
Very soon.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
You know, 50, now it's what, 49 days today? And, you know, Tucker, we could say that, you know, Fox has definitely been not staying as far right as they need to be. And I was unhappy with a lot of the things that you were talking about that they didn't stand up for. But Tucker's been going off, and they can't get to Tucker because Tucker, you can't buy him off, and you can't. They keep trying to attack him, and he keeps bringing up all the stuff. And kudos to Abbott and DeSantis for standing their ground and embarrassing these people and showing the hypocrisy of their views.
God always raises up his warriors, his time, his way.
Martha's Vineyard and everybody else, and the naval. The naval mansion that she was in, and they showed up on her front lawn. I mean, they keep doing it. You know, Muriel Bowser, you know, she got a taste of it, and Hochul in New York, and she's not even elected. And they got Lee Zeldin took an opportunity to show up at that McDonald's. You know, praise God that these people have the stones enough to do what they need to do. If we get the control in January, they better step up. Jim Jordan, I trust, and, you know.
Yeah, Jim Jordan's a good one.
Ones, but they're going to have to step forward, and they're going to have to make these people pay, bottom line.
Amen. And we have to make sure that they do. All right, thanks, Timothy. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're in the air.
Yes. I've been enjoying your program and finding out about a lot of information. Have you ever read Josh McDowell, Evidence of the Scripture?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, there's also 2 Timothy 3:16 in the King James says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I've got a 1967 Scofield reference. What translation do you use in teaching?
I use the King James Bible.
No, what year?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I have several I've used over the years. I have one, actually, that I'll actually read from 1611.
I understand in studying, there's different translations of the King James, so I've been studying that. Also, I've got the Latin translation and the Aramaic. Josh McDowell claims, maybe you might know, that Apostle Paul wrote in Aramaic and so did the early disciples. Do you happen to know about that?
Yeah, I've read that, yeah.
So all Scripture.
Jesus also spoke Aramaic.
Okay, so the translation we have with the King James that came in about 1660, is that right?
1611.
So do you have the Bishop Geneva or Berea Bible?
Yeah, I actually do have one, yep.
How do they compare to the King James?
Well, actually, they're the texts are the very same. The texts are the very same text. They're just the wording, the spelling of the words are different.
Right.
But if you go back to the 16 or the 1599 English version, the 1599 Spanish version, and the 1599 Italian version, they're all the texts are the same, but the spelling and the words, you know, are different, so they're not always the same. But we have to move on. But thanks for calling. Let's go to we have now our co-host, none other. He's here. Bring him up.
Yeah, what's up?
There you go.
Looking at Psalm chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, and I think verse 4 is kind of saying to stand your ground, and that would relate to anybody that might be honest, if there's someone honest in the FBI. And then verse 5 is talking about don't take rewards against the innocent, and you could look at that with the poisonous poke about all these people that are taking, you know, payments to put this stuff through.
Well, that's King David, and he applies these observations that you read there, where it says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he that honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. So David applies these observations to his enemies, the godless evildoers who eat up the people as they eat bread. They're all going aside, is what he's telling you. Then in verse 4, he says, or in verse 5, he says this, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. So there you go.
Yeah, so I do think that people will take payments against the innocent. I think that's a big part of what's going on. I think there's a lot of payoffs. Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that's...
I couldn't hear... somebody was talking to me at the same time I was getting a message over my...
Yeah, but I think that's part of a big part of what's happening, those two verses. I think, it's like people will, they'll take payment, you know, to the drugs being an example, they'll take money for no matter how much harm it brings to someone else.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we got to move on, but thanks, Cliff. Let's go to Patrick. I think Patrick will be the last call we can take tonight. Go ahead, Patrick, you're in the air.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, Pastor?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, sir. I just wanted to call because I feel like after listening to the radio show tonight, I just wanted to talk about the subject of, how compromised maybe many of our so-called representatives are here in the United States today and worldwide, and about this, this kind of idea of this one-world government, you know, that there's this, you know, those, in the book of Revelations, it talks about those who will call themselves Jews, but they are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. And that they have, you know, that this organization pretending to be Jewish, pretending to be representative of the children of God, have infiltrated, you know, this not only this government but worldwide, and what it's culminating to at this time.
Well, you've had that if you take a look at so many of the wicked; they have Jewish names. But the Apostle Paul addresses that in Romans 9. He says that they're talking about they're the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. They're the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. And the Lord Jesus makes the very same statement that he said, you know, if Abraham were your father, in other words, they were, again, the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. So he's talking about them spiritually. They're lost. They're actually, the Lord Jesus referred to them as the sons of the devil, Satan. He says Satan is your father. So, and that's why if you read, you'll find out that only that only one-third of those that are professing Israel are truly Israel. That so only one-third are going to be redeemed, two-thirds will perish.
That's very interesting, because I was reading through a kind of an obscure text about the so-called modern, I would say it's the secular Jewish movement, and it was talking about how some of them claim that we are actually not the original Hebrews, but we're Edomites. But this is basically a co-opting of the original Israelite Hebrew teachings, understanding, and it's basically a, you know, like a manipulation or a deception.
Well, this is why you stay with the King James. I get the King James Bible and stay with it. See, here's what God said. God said that he would get his word to his people, that they would get his word, okay, and that they would have that which is perfect, okay? We have that as the completed 66 canon. And the King James Bible is totally, completely superior to all of the perversions of the Bible in every way. Okay, so stay with that and read what it says and forget about all of this other stuff that people are coming from, and you'll be on the right track. But we're out of time, so thanks for calling, Patrick. And Joe, you've got 3 minutes, a little less than 3 minutes, to give an invitation.
All right. There's an old hymn, one of my favorites. It's called "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The question is, I know Pastor Ernie is going to be there. I'll be there. And I'm asking you, the listeners out there, will you be there with us when that roll is called up? You see, the only ones that are going to be called are the saved. And the saved are the ones who, the Lord says, are the ones who are born again, born by the Spirit and by water. And to be a born-again believer, it's a simple thing, but it has to be a heartfelt thing. To start with, you have to repent that your sins, the sins that you've committed and the sins of the things that you omitted to do, the things that you were told to do you didn't, put Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary. He took your place, my place, Pastor Ernie's place. He paid the price for our sin, our sin debt. The wages of sin is death. But he's made this offer for us to have everlasting life, to become the children of God. And to do, we have to call upon the Father. We have to repent. Truly a heartfelt repentance that our sins caused his death, and we have to ask forgiveness, and then we ask Jesus to come into our life, to be Lord of our life, all of our life. He is King, and we are to belong to him. He paid the debt we owe him. And then we ask him to give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's our down payment on eternal life. As Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you through the Holy Spirit. Then that is our spiritual baptism. We become the adopted children. We become the children of God. We become joint heirs with Jesus in everlasting life. And from that point on, God begins to change.
Amen. Joe, you're absolutely right. We're out of time, so until tomorrow, good night. God bless it. Always, always.
Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.